You figure it out yet? Come on, you can do it. The bumper music has a theme. Sitting in for George Norrie tonight's Friday night. Open lines are next. Get ready. Okay, but check this story out. It's pretty trippy because Dan and I were talking earlier today before the show. We have both watched the film, the director's cut, Alien, with Sigourney Weaver, the classic, 3 days ago. And then this story breaks. One of the stars of the original film, Yaphet Kotto, who played Parker, right, has opened up about what he says has been a lifetime of experiences involving actual aliens and UFOs. In a remarkable interview with Vice, he claimed that he has had ongoing interactions with extraterrestrials, beginning with an initial encounter when he was 9 or 10 years old. Incredible. You can check out the full story right now over on coasttocoastam.com. All right, get ready. It's Friday night, sitting in for George. Open lines. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. All right, welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. It's Friday night. It's open lines. Let's get this going right now. I'm going to start at the top and work down. We're going out east to Sue in Toronto. Sue, you're up next. Kick it off right now.
All right, I'm kicking it off.
Let's go.
Okay. My issue is, I think all of this stuff, I mean, 99% of everything we talk about can be explained by interdimensionality.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, like if you actually distill it down to its base particles, nothing makes sense except
that.
Things don't make sense.
Right. Well, and they start to make sense if that's the way that you want to start to look at it, doesn't it?
So, it doesn't matter if you want or not. It is.
Exactly. And you know what's really interesting, Sue? Let me ask you this, and thank you for the phone call, but let me ask you this. With the revelations that came out of Silicon Valley last year, about us possibly living in a simulation, ones and zeros, that maybe this wasn't real and it could be all interdimensional and artificial. It kind of confirms what a lot of us had already been talking about for many, many years, right?
I think the Matrix is so way beyond our ability to actually process what happened in that movie.
Right. Right. Well, you know, and people go back and think
we're just like going like, what the
Sue, behave now. Yeah. This is a family
whatever.
Show.
Okay. We're just saying, wow, that's pretty prescient.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And Sue, let me just say this, that the reference going back to the movie Matrix from so many different people, whether it's authors or researchers, to friends and family, they resonate so much with that movie. They didn't on the first viewing. They didn't get it. It was just a cool science fiction film. But they go back and they watch it a second, a third, fourth time, and they suddenly take a step back and go, huh, I wonder if that's what life really is about. Let's go to Wildcard. Thank you for the phone call, Sue. Let's go to Wildcard. Toby in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Toby, you're up next.
Hi, Jimmy. Thanks for taking my call.
How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. So in the summer of 2012, I was actually studying the concept of awakening. And I came across this series of recordings. And the recordings were supposed to be channeling from an advanced race located somewhere near the Perseids Nebula.
Okay.
And they're called the Persidian channeling.
Okay.
And in these channelings, they actually mention the Tolaton.
Oh, no way.
And when they talk about the Tolaton, these beings talk about how they are the predecessors trying to inform our Earth of the Tolaton and how important that was going to be in the future of our society and our civilization.
Now, did you know that before you heard Lorcan on the show tonight?
I had not heard that word in 5 years.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So what you must have just, you know, momentarily flipped out.
A little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of that feeling of, wait a second, this I was meant to listen tonight.
Well, and this is what I said to Lorcan over the last couple of days we were talking. And the way that I do this show, Toby, no matter what show that I do, I don't have questions in advance. I know my guest. But what I like to do is have the show evolve and unfold in front of me the same way that you're listening to it as well. And he had said, you know, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. So when I heard it tonight for the first time, just like you did, I was just as blown away as you. I did not know, and I didn't know what to expect either. Fascinating.
Well, and it also connected into numerology, because where I'm at, it was already the 29th. And when you add the 29th of July in the numerical series, it's 7, 9, 7, 8. And
okay.
Those three numbers are all very important in numerology, and the Presidian channelings also talked about how the Tolaton were so advanced because of their understanding of the basic numerology of the entire universe and the dimensionality of numerology.
Absolutely incredible, Toby. So tonight, pretty cool show for you.
Very cool show, and I'm actually going to go and follow Lorcan's page and tell him about that.
Yeah, stay in touch. Thank you so much, Toby, and be safe out there, my friend. All right, let's go to, I'm just going straight down the line here. Let's go to Dave in New Jersey. Dave, you're up next. Wild card.
Sasquatch.
Yes, Dave, you're up next.
Okay, Sasquatch here.
You are Sasquatch.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, I was waiting to hear a whoa, whoa, whoa.
Anyway, no, it's good talking to you, Jimmy. I've been wanting to call you for a very long time. My story starts in a place called Westtown, Pennsylvania, in the early 60s, when I was a very young boy. As soon as we moved to Westtown, I started getting these little beings that would come into my room through my closet door.
Okay.
Now, these little guys were friendly. They didn't hurt me or threaten me in any way. And I was little. I mean, I remember my mom was doing dishes. I tugged on her skirt. I said, Mommy, there was little people in my room. I said, oh, you were just dreaming, sweetheart.
Right.
And I remember walking out of the kitchen, shaking my head. It wasn't a dream.
Right.
So it kept going on and going on. I was getting older. And one night, I wake up, and I look to my right, and there's a being in robes. Looked at the foot of my bed, there's a being in robes. And there's a being to my left, which I couldn't see because I was laying down, and the being was on my left. So the being put his hand on my arm and looked me in the eye and telepathically said to me, we've seen you before, and we're going to see you again. And they put me to sleep. Fine. So many years later, I'm now a teenager.
Right.
At my parents' house. I feel something dancing between my legs. So I sat up, and I got punched in the stomach. My bed was up, crashed on the floor. My parents are watching television, so I said, Mommy's. I said, here I have my bed crashed on the floor. They said, you had a bad dream. Go back to bed. So the beings had control over my parents.
Wow, and your line is breaking up there, yeah, Dave, and yeah, because I want to get to the rest of that story. But what's interesting about that is the comment that your parents said to you that you were just having a dream or a bad dream. And I think a lot of parents say that to their children, and the children are confused. It confuses them because they know that it wasn't a dream. So then they have the experience again, and they're constantly told that you're just having a dream. And it conflicts with everybody as they grow up. I find that very interesting. Let's go to Chris, first-time caller line in Ontario, Canada. Chris, you're up next on Coast.
Hello, Jimmy Church. Can you hear me well?
I got you, Chris.
Okay, you're amazing. The Coast guys are amazing. Everything's amazing. You guys just keep doing what you're doing. This is the call that you wanted, buddy, and it goes with that interview. Feel free to ask me any questions because this is a real story and we're not alone. So.
Okay, well, what's the story? What happened?
Okay, I was just sitting in a well-lit room at like 7 p.m. and I'm just like conversing with my friend and his siblings, and I see a green orb go fly across the roof, and I'm like, oh, what? And I don't say anything, and I'm just like, what made that orb? And I'm just like, oh, my God. Like nothing made that orb, right? Like, I didn't know it was an orb. I just thought it was a light. So I went into the other room, and his parents were there, and I was like, oh, I've told this story so many times. This is just like a life-changing moment in my life. But so I said, I seen something, and like ever since I was a kid, I never believed in anything. But I thought there was maybe some kind of God or something. But I said, oh, I seen something, and like, oh, this place is haunted. And I'm like, and I really thought there was nothing else out there. You know, you believe about Santa Claus and everything. It's like, oh, there's nothing, right? That's what I really believed when I was 20, and I'm like 35 now. So this is a really intense story, but
Well, so what happened next?
So anyways, yeah, I'm sure a lot of people want to hear this, but so the next moment, like everything went to, like, I thought nothing happened, right? And I just discounted it like everybody else does and what they say, like it's not real, right? But it is real. And so my friend went to sleep for some strange reason. He should have stayed up and played 007 on N64. It was the most amazing thing of everybody's time, right? But I stayed up with the mom's boyfriend. And like I said, well, I was sober when I seen the orb, so I just thought it was nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it's 1 a.m. in the morning, and we smoked a little something. I'm not going to lie. But we went onto the shed, we did our thing, and I'm not going to lie, Jimmy Church, I had an out-of-body experience. I've never had an out-of-body experience in my life. This is the only time I've ever had one, and it was frightening. And it was a enjoyable moment at the start, and that's how I think it was, like maybe marijuana-induced, and it had came out of my body, and then I had realized, I'm like, oh my God, I'm like looking down at us, and I got really terrified, right? So I was able to get right back into my body, just like that, and I was just like, what happened there, right? I was just in a daze almost, right? And like I said, I was intoxicated, right?
Okay, Chris, was this connected to the green orb?
Yes, it's very connected to it.
Okay, so how long were you out of your body?
No, you don't know. It's all time displacement, and time's not real, so. It's all questions, and we got to discover this and write books and stuff, right? It's where I challenge the Coast audience to really look at the orb theory and what's around orbs, and this is what we're going to figure out, and we'll do it like as a collective. And
right.
It's going to be one person.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you listened to the show, and thank you for the phone call, Chris. Absolutely great experience. I described what happened to me 3 weeks ago. We had about 100 people that were sitting there, and I saw, and I don't care what anybody has to say about this, I saw a giant gray orb show up about a quarter mile away. It was 11 o'clock at night, came out of some trees, and it was small. It lasted for about 5 seconds, and it went from a little small gray thing in the dark, and it grew immensely to, I'm going to guess and say 50 feet in diameter, completely flat, 2D, not a sphere, a flat circle with smudges around it. It was like a smudge. And there it was. And so as it disappears, and I went to rub my eyes, and I was thinking that I had something in my eyes, you know, like a floaty in my eye. And so as I'm rubbing my eye, somebody says in back of me, is anybody else watching this gray orb out there? And I spun around and I said, you mean this is, I think I might have said bleep, real? And then I heard the murmurs. Everybody from my left and right were all saying the same thing. That's strange. Did you see the gray orb? It's right out there. And I had the experience. So when anybody talks about these orbs or the possibility of this, we see it all times in photographs. And I've always thought it was a photographic anomaly, or maybe a digital camera was picking something up that we couldn't necessarily see with our eyes. Well, could it be a bug? Could it be dust floating? Sure, it could be all of that. But it's a whole nother thing when you see it with your eyeballs, right? Not a camera, not a video camera, not night vision. I plainly saw this with witnesses, which actually, I kind of wish I would have just seen it by myself, because then it's just up to me, right? But when somebody says, is anybody else watching this? Then you get the dose of reality. Let's go to wild card five, Charles in Elgin, Texas. Charles, you're up next on Coast.
Hey, I've got some experiences I can definitely talk about. I was amazed. I kind of caught the tail end of Lorcan's what he was talking about, and I was just amazed, because that's not what I expected. You know, I thought, okay, there's another celebrity, son of a celebrity and everything else, and he was just going to be one of those things, you know, we can talk about his interesting life and all that. But right. Wow, that was really amazing.
Yeah, wait till you listen to it again, Charles. He's got an extraordinary life that he is dealing with now.
I'm going to hear it again later tonight. But the thing is, I have had two times in my life when I had two different kinds of spiritual awakenings. The latter one actually was very similar to Lorcan's, very, very similar. I mean, the whole thing with the movement through the chakras and the energy movement and how powerful it was.
Right.
But that, unfortunately, with that one, and it was something my dad always tried to help me to get back to. What happened with that one was a very evil person in California. I was in San Francisco. I was studying a learning system, which is now called the Reservopedia. But I was using it as a vehicle for me to actually fully experience what was going on in my body and my soul, you know, my heart and everything else. But my heart, what happened was during this summer institute they had in San Francisco, people were saying that they were seeing a light coming out of my, like, heart area. You know, they seemed as like an orb and you know, rays of light, all kinds of stuff. I didn't see it. I look in the mirror. I guess it's kind of like having jaundice. You can't see if you're yellow if you're the one who's got the jaundice, you know.
Right.
But so I couldn't see it, but people were saying they were seeing it, and they were like, and it was disturbing, this kind of like a workshop, this summer institute that this guy was heading up. Now, this guy had studied hypnosis, he studied autogenics, and he got a confederate to kind of basically set me up and attacked me so that I was vulnerable. And then I ended up over at his house. He did a whole bunch of hypnosis things.
Well, we're gonna head towards a break here, Charles. But let me ask you this, because the experience is extraordinary, and when it happens to you, when you have the awakening, you have the enlightenment, and everything opens up for the first time, your life changes, doesn't it? And suddenly you're viewing everything around you just a little bit differently.
Even if it's been stopped, it still changes. Even though I was attacked, and even though the guy tried to stop it because it was interfering with his little workshop.
Right.
You know, I still had residual. It still does change your life, but it kind of messed me up because, you know, my dad would say every 6 months I change, because after my heart center was attacked, I could never quite get, you know, every 6 months, you know, it just. And so your life is not the same, but I mean, it was a very evil, that was the most evil thing you can do to somebody.
Absolutely, Charles. And thank you for the phone call. It's Coast to Coast AM. It's Friday night. Host Jimmy Church sitting in for George Norrie. More of your phone calls next. Stay with us. Man, what a great song. You know, we all love good conspiracies, right? We just do. And an intriguing conspiracy theory is centered around the restaurant chain Chipotle. That's right. It's been gaining attention following that notorious outbreak, which left over 100 of their customers sick last week. Well, initially proposed a few years ago when the restaurant was rocked by a widespread E. coli outbreak, the hypothesis suggests that the change woes are not accidental and, in fact, are being orchestrated by nefarious forces. You can check out the full story right now over at Coast to Coast AM, and it's a pretty interesting read. Go check it out. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. It's Friday night, which means open lines. All of your phone calls are next. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and let's go straight back to the phones. Let's go east of the Rockies. Tom in Peoria, Illinois. Tom, you're up next on Coast.
Yes, good evening. I was listening to you a couple weeks back, and you were had a guest on talking about that mummy down in South America.
Uh-huh.
In that three-fingered mummy, I believe.
Right.
And have you heard anything on the DNA results or any carbon dating on that?
Well, we're still, I mean, the carbon dating has been in on it. Now, what Tom is referring to is Gaia and their series right now. It's called Nazca Unearthed, and they've got not just one mummy, but they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6. The series now, I think just today, Tom, it's interesting that you're calling in about this. If you go to Gaia.com, it's free, and you can go and look at the video series right there. And part 5 was released this afternoon, so you can go and check it out. But it's not just the fingers. It was 3 fingers and 3 toes.
Right.
And so the mummy they've named Maria, she dates from around 245 A.D. to, I think, 410 A.D. Don't quote me on these numbers. But so that's the carbon dating that's there. We're still waiting DNA analysis on everything. The second part of the video series is another set of mummies that, to me, look a little bit reptilian. They're a little bit, they're quite a bit smaller, and the skulls are very small, and the rib count is very extreme. So you have to see that, and what appears to be maybe eggs or something that are inside of one of them. Very interesting. And then today is the analysis of this baby. And it's very small. It's about the size of a basketball. It's curled up. It's in a ball. And the carbon dating and the DNA analysis is still out. It hasn't been returned yet. But that's part 5, and that was released today. We're still waiting for the DNA analysis. I think it's going to be pretty soon here. And when it does, we'll find out if this is... if this is a hoax, if it's real, and if it is ET that has visited Earth in the distant past. It's a very fascinating case. Again, just go to Gaia.com, and you can check out videos 1 through 5. It's right there on the homepage. Thank you for the phone call, Tom. Have a great night. Let's go to Wild Card. I'm going to do this. Lori. Lori in Myrtle Beach. You're up next.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yes, Lori.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good, Lori. How are you?
The show was fabulous tonight. That was very interesting.
He's a very, very smart young man.
Yes, I'm looking forward to seeing that the movie, whatever he's putting together.
Yeah, he's very, very smart. Yeah, absolutely.
You guys are wonderful. You keep me up every night.
Well, that's our job, Lori. It's our job.
I love you all, and you are wonderful. Anyway, I'm trying to guess the theme of the evening, and I believe, from what I'm hearing, it's departing.
Okay, that's good. You know, should I give it away now? We still have another 5 or 6. How many songs left, Dan? 4 more songs left. So, yeah. You know what, Lori? Hang in there, and let's let everybody else get a crack at it in Twitter. Well, follow me on Twitter, everybody, at Jay Church Radio. We've got 4 more songs.
Twitter. I don't have Twitter.
Yeah, but you're going to listen to the show. What I'm saying is everybody else is going to take guesses. All right?
Okay, Jimmy. Thank you.
You hang in there. The last song of the night, I'll announce it then. Fair enough? Okay. You got it. Thank you, Lori. Have a great night from Myrtle Beach. All right. Let's see. Who is up next? Officially, it's west of the Rockies, Terry in Alaska. Terry, you're really west of the Rockies. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. My first time caller. I was just wondering what people think about transcendental meditation. When you leave your body, you see like the silver cord and you go off into like different spectrums of the universe.
Well, have you done it? Have you done it, Terry?
I've heard, I've studied, but me and my friend Paul tried it years ago when we were kids, but other than that, we really didn't. So.
Right, right. Well, let me...
But, it's just interesting stuff, you know?
Yeah, it is, Terry, and I kind of mentioned this either last week or maybe it was a couple of weeks ago, but I just recently, for the first time experience, had something similar happen to me. Now, I don't want to get into it. It's too personal. I'm not going to describe it. I'm not, but let me just say this. When it does happen, and I wasn't trying to, I didn't know what I was doing. But I didn't. I honestly didn't. But when it happened and I found out and felt and saw what everybody else has been referring to for years and years and years, I've listened to everybody talk about this. When you experience it for the first time, you honestly know and find out then that there was something else going on. And it's fun. And when it ended, I got upset because I wanted it to continue. I literally shut my eyes, clicked my heels 3 times like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz and said, take me back. And it didn't happen. I was kind of bummed. Let's go to Wild Card. Nathan, Middletown, Ohio. Nathan, you're up next on Coast.
Hi, Jimmy. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely, Nathan. What's on your mind?
All right. This is kind of an odd concept. You know, there's a researcher and an author out there named Dolores Cannon.
Yeah, she's no longer with us, but yes.
Right. I knew that. But she wrote about a concept called backdrop people.
Right.
Which were basically energy in the source that developed into people in your background. And I just wanted to get your idea on the concept of something like that.
Well, I'm going to throw it right back at you, Nathan. What do you think is going on with that kind of concept?
Well, I definitely am. Well, I'm a contact experiencer. And I definitely believe energy takes all different forms.
Right.
Well, I mean, we're basically taught that anyway. It's just energy at different vibrations.
Absolutely.
Now, it could be a dangerous concept. It could teach people to think that, you know, not everybody's real.
Right.
But then again, if we're in a simulation, it stands to point that some people might not be.
Right. Well, you will, at least right now, today, we need science to start to take a look at this. We don't have any definitive proof on anything. What we have is everybody's experiences. And I have certainly observed things that I can't explain. And the other concept, because I know audio and video so well, when we talk about frequencies and the elimination and taking things in and out of phase, which we do right now in the audio world and in the video world, you take something in or out of phase, it disappears. You can't hear it. You can't see it anymore. And that concept applied to reality, you know, the possibility of something just standing right next to you, but you can't see it or hear it because it's just not on this frequency. All light is frequency. All audio is frequency. The only reason why colors have names is because there's a frequency there, and we name that frequency. We give that frequency a name, red, blue, green, and that's it. And if it's out of that frequency range, you can't see anything. You go into a dark room that's black, there's no light in it, then there's no colors, right? So you can't see anything, but you know stuff is there. You understand what I'm saying? And that's, I apply that across the board. Now, science needs to get more involved and try to figure out.
Science needs to get more involved with everything.
Yeah, well, it's the truth, though. And I constantly go back, Nathan, to quantum mechanics, quantum theory, multi-worlds theory, parallel worlds, and how that applies to quantum mechanics and quantum theory, and what Silicon Valley is doing right now with quantum computing, and what the Japanese did last week and the Chinese the week before with photons and transportation and teleportation, and the Japanese did encryption of data. with quantum with photons in the laser stream, right? And all of this is science fiction. It's not even supposed to be reality, but it is. So if we take that and we start to apply it to the parallel worlds and the possibility of what is stringing to the left and to the right of us, then everything starts to get answered. And we're right on the brink of it, Nathan. We are right there. And if Dolores Cannon was still with us today, she would say, see, I told you so. So there you go. Nathan, thank you for the phone call, man, and enjoy the rest of your Friday, Saturday morning.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Let's go to, who's up next? Let's go to Sam, right here in Los Angeles, California. Sam, you're up next on Coast.
Hi, Jimmy. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to talk about magic and basically our subculture right now. That things that I've been noticing, like how Satan and, you know, like demons and stuff like that are incorporated in our pop culture, like that, like these groups called Suicide Boys and Bones and all these rap groups in the underground right now going on all have to do with this, like, witchcraft.
What is your question, though?
Well, my question is, like, you know, talking about, you know, metaphysical, you know, all this energy, you know, well, wouldn't that be some sort of magic, you know, not like you know, a person doing, you know, magic, but like, you know, just that energy force, you know, people just like all this, you know, evil energy, you know, out in the world, you know, wouldn't that have any effect on, you know, anything, you know, like, that's kind of like what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, I get it, Sam. I get it. Well, see, the thing is, when it comes to symbolism or suggestions or videos or movies that suggest any of this or music, it's how you want to perceive it. You know, if that's what you want to get out of it and that's what you want to see into it, then, you know, it's such an individual thing. The symbolism that could be in movies from other groups, well, that's a whole nother symbolism. Cinema symbolism is a whole nother concept completely. And tons of information out there on that. But I think it's all up to the individual. I don't think that there's a big grand scheme out there of it. I think it's up to you to try to see what's actually going on in a roundabout way. Let's go to first-time caller line, Kevin, Colorado Springs. You're up next.
Hello, Jimmy Church.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, good. Long-time listener, you know, but, that's on the first caller line, but I've listened to George and you and forever, you know. I'm talking about the aliens.
Okay.
You know, it's not like, you know, I've been adopted or anything like that. You know, it's nothing weird. But you know how our government, you ever want to just go out into space and experience other things? When our government says, oh, we got to build something and it's going to take 29 years or something like that. Why don't we ever take one of their ships and go fly out there? You know, if they're flying here, why don't we take one and go back?
Don't you think we're doing that?
No.
Why not? I do.
Because, we're only told, like, about the rockets and the space.
Right.
NASA. You know, there's never nothing going off, like, you know, like the space shuttle or the Challenger. You know, like they got it to where they could go off like a rocket and come in like a plane.
Sure.
But it can only go so far.
Well, we haven't gone, allegedly, we haven't gone past 400 miles. You know, we haven't left that far from Earth since the Apollo missions.
Right.
Allegedly. I don't know what's going on with the secret space program. And when people, you know, they talk about this all the time and they say to me, how do you have proof of a secret space program? And they think that it's just something dark and sinister and there's no proof. No, actually, that's not the case, Kevin. Not at all. The X-37B, the United States Air Force space plane, super secret, has been orbiting Earth. It just came back. It was on a 2-year mission. 2 years up there. Now, that's the part that we know about. We don't know about the other stuff. But if what is it doing up there for 2 years? Just somebody help me out here. It's doing something pretty sinister. Now, it could be weaponizing space. It could be that. It could be, well, anyway, it's all speculation. But when we talk about a secret space program, if that is going on, then what is going on that we don't know about? How far are we going out there? These are questions that I have all the time. If that's what we know, then what is it that we don't know? It's the only way to look at it. Let's go to Jim, east of the Rockies, all the way out in New Jersey. You're up next. Jim?
Yes, good evening. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Jim. What's your question?
I would say about two and a half weeks ago, I believe it was George Knapp and Linda Moulton Howell. They were on. They were doing a special about men, particularly men, disappearing from state and national parks.
Okay.
And they said that the count, since they started keeping records of this, is up to close to 71 people.
Okay. Well, what's your question, Jim?
They said most of it was also within a 10-mile region of a very large body of water.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, they haven't found they claim that they had the professional hikers and the mountaineers and all that looking for these people, and there would be 6 or 7 people at a campsite. The next thing they turn around and someone would be gone.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing phenomenon, Jim. And my comments are this, and this is what's really strange, is that the people investigating these disappearances don't want to do a serious investigation. And when somebody comes in with some information, it just seems like they don't want to know. They know that something is going on at the highest levels, but they don't want any information. They don't want to do it. They've shut everything down. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Nothing but phone calls on a Friday night. And we'll be doing the rest of that right after this short break. Stay with us.